Adventure Box presents Stranded at Christmas, a story by Sylvie Fisbach, illustrated by Eleanor Dupressoir. Chapter 1. Off we go. My name is Rosalie, and at the time of this story, I was 8 years old. I had a twin brother called Milo. Officially, he was the oldest because he was born a few minutes before me. I also have a little sister called Nono. She was 3 years old. Her real name was Nora, but everyone called her Nono. It was the 24th of December, and we were driving to Granny and Grandad's house to spend Christmas with them. They lived in the mountains. Just like every Christmas Eve, all our cousins, aunts and uncles were going to be there, and we would be allowed to stay up late. I already knew that the pre-dinner snacks would be delicious. That year it was our turn to bring them, and I had helped to prepare them. What a feast! Then, of course, on Christmas Day there would be presents. After Christmas our parents would have to go back to work, and we were going to spend the rest of the holidays at Granny and Grandad's house with our cousins. I hoped it would snow so that we could go sledging and maybe even skiing. I was really looking forward to it. We had been travelling for several hours. Mum was driving. She and Dad were talking quietly. Their voices made us feel sleepy. Nono was singing all the Christmas songs she knew over and over again. Milo was playing with his Rubik's Cube, and I was looking out of the window at the scenery. I could tell we were getting close to Granny and Grandad's house because I recognised the rounded shapes of the mountains. The road was windy and the sky was grey. Dad said happily, "It looks like it might snow." Mum added, "Yes, it is going to be a beautiful Christmas." Milo hardly looked up. Nono carried on singing. I looked at the sky, and I really hoped that Mum and Dad were right. Suddenly the car began to shudder in a strange way. Dad looked at Mum and asked her, "What's happening?" "I don't know," she said. "I can't change gear. Something is not right." Then the car stopped dead. Mum tried to restart it, but it was no use. The engine remained silent. Dad said to us in a tense but firm voice, "Children, put on your anoraks, your hats, your gloves and your scarves. Twins, take Nono with you and go and stand on the bank away from the road." We got out of the car without a word. Only Nono was giggling. We stood on the bank and watched as Dad put on a fluorescent yellow safety jacket and started to push the car. Mum was still behind the wheel and kept trying to start the engine. At last they managed to move it to a dirt track a bit further on. Mum waved at us. "Get back in the car, children." Milo asked me in a worried voice, "Do you think we will get there in time for pre-dinner drinks and snacks?" I replied in a definite voice, "Yes, Dad is going to call Grandad and he will come and fetch us. We will be in time for sure." Chapter 2. Everything Goes Wrong. We got back in the car. I was feeling quite confident and Milo was reassured, but it didn't last long. Outside, Mum and Dad were marching up and down in different directions, waving their mobile phones in the air. Milo said in a glum voice, "But what is going to happen if there is no mobile phone network and they can't call?" I didn't say anything. I was getting worried too, especially as it would soon be dark. Our parents went out of sight for a while, but at last I spotted Mum. She got back in the car and said, trying to sound calm, "Okay, this is the situation. The car has broken down and there is no mobile phone network here. Your dad has gone to see if there is a house with people in it nearby." Milo said in a panicky voice, "And what if he doesn't find anyone? What will we do then? I quickly said, It's like Granny always says, there are no problems, only solutions. Exactly, said Mum, smiling. But in my heart, I wasn't so sure I believed it. I was getting more and more worried. It was getting dark, and if it began to snow, things would become even more complicated. Plus, Dad had not come back yet. Everyone in the car went quiet. Even Nonno stopped singing. At last, Dad came walking slowly back. I wondered if he was walking like that because he had found a solution or because he had no good news for us. We all held our breath. Dad opened the car door, got in, and said in a calm voice, There is a farm about a kilometre down the road, but nobody is home. The people who live there must have gone to celebrate Christmas somewhere else. They will probably be back tomorrow to milk the cows that I spotted in the stable. Then I realised, does that mean we won't be able to have Christmas at Granny and Grandad's? But we can't miss Christmas. Mum looked at us and said in a sad voice, Rosalie is right. We won't be able to have Christmas Eve with the family. We will have to sleep in the car. It could be a long and uncomfortable night. Tomorrow morning we will find a way to contact Granny and Grandad. They will come and pick us up and then we can make up for lost time with them. Milo began to sob. I held back my tears. We were so disappointed. I knew that Milo was crying because he was also scared of the dark. Spending the night in the car would be very difficult for him. I just felt sad. Christmas is the best time of the year, and it had just been spoiled by a silly car that wouldn't start. Nonno copied Milo and began to cry too, but I wasn't sure she really understood why. Mum and Dad tried to make us feel better. They talked softly to us and stroked our hair, but it was no use. My brother and sister were inconsolable. Then suddenly, between sobs, Milo cried out, In that case, we can have all the pre-dinner snacks to ourselves. That will be so cool. We all laughed out loud. I laughed so much that I shouted, I have to go for a wee. Milo said, I'll come with you. I knew that my twin brother was scared, but I also knew that he would feel okay if he was with me. Milo and I were inseparable, and we felt a lot stronger together, especially when things went wrong. And that day, everything was going wrong. Chapter 3. Genius Twins. We walked up the dirt track where the car was parked. I was looking for a place where I could hide and have a wee, when suddenly I spotted what looked like a huge bush down the path. I walked around it and squatted down behind it. I could see that it was not a bush, but a wall covered in leaves. I stood up and walked along the wall. I realised that it was actually a house, or more like a cabin. I called out to my brother, Milo, Milo, come and see this. He ran over and said, What? What is it? I showed him the wall hidden by the leaves. I walked around the cabin and Milo followed me. I came to a door and pushed it open. The cabin was small. It had only one window. Inside there was a fireplace, a table and a chair. There were some planks of wood with straw on top that looked like a bed. Milo and I glanced at each other. I didn't need to say anything. He understood what I was thinking. We shouted for joy.
Yay!
Then we ran back to the car, waving our arms in the air. Our parents looked worried and hurried over to us. They asked, What happened? I was all out of breath, I said, "We won't need to sleep in the car tonight." We turned around and went back towards the cabin. I pulled Dad by the hand. Mum, Milo and Nonno followed close behind. I held my breath as Dad went inside the cabin to inspect it. He looked at Mum and said with a smile,
"Our children are geniuses. This is a great place to shelter. It is nice and dry."
Milo said modestly, "Rosalie is the real genius. She found the cabin." Dad looked at me affectionately, and Mum said, "It is going to be dark soon and it might snow. We should get organised. Can you twins go and collect some wood? I saw a large pile of logs a bit further down the path. Dad, Nonno and I will go back to the car to get everything we need."
Chapter 4. A Magical Evening. A quarter of an hour later, the cabin was full of logs, bags and suitcases. Mum took out a duvet cover and stuffed it with straw to make a mattress for the bed. Dad made a fire in the fireplace. I had a good look around the inside of our shelter in the twilight. I felt slightly disheartened when I saw that it was very dusty and there were cobwebs in the corners. When Mum saw my face, she guessed what I was thinking. "Well, it isn't a palace, but at least we will be warm." She pointed to a bag. I took out the candles and she helped me light them. With the light from the fire, it looked so cozy. The dust, the cobwebs and the cold disappeared as if by magic. For a moment, nobody spoke. Then Nonno, who was sitting on the bed, suddenly asked,
"Where is the Christmas tree?"
Milo explained to her,
"The Christmas tree will be there tomorrow at Granny and Grandad's house."
Nonno began to cry, but I had an idea. I asked Mum and Dad if I could go out with Milo to look for some extra logs. My brother was not too keen to go with me because it was really dark, but when I whispered my plan in his ear, he smiled. My parents looked puzzled, so I said, "Sorry, I can't say anything. It's a surprise." We went outside carrying Mum's mobile phone to light the way. There were a few small snowflakes swirling around. As we got close to the pile of logs, the snow started to fall more heavily. I said to Milo, "We'd better hurry. It looks like there might be a snowstorm." Milo was looking more and more worried. We each picked up as many logs as we could. Then suddenly we heard a noise behind us. In a panic, we dropped the wood and turned around. There, just a few metres away, we saw a shadow coming towards us. It was huge. Milo's face turned as white as the snow on the ground. "Shoo!" I shouted and waved my arms to frighten the shadow away. Milo also began waving his arms around, and when the shadow disappeared through the trees, I was surprised to see my brother chasing after it.
"Wait!"
I ran after him, but as it was snowing heavily, I lost sight of him. Fortunately, after a few minutes that felt endless, I caught sight of him again. My brother was standing very still behind a tree. He beckoned me to join him quietly, and there in front of us was an amazing sight. A doe with big eyes and long black eyelashes was standing watching us. She gazed at us for a while. Snowflakes twinkled like stars all around her. Time seemed to stand still. The snowflakes were the only thing moving. Suddenly the doe turned and disappeared into the night. We stood still for a few moments longer as if we had been hypnotized. But the cold brought us back to reality and we returned to the pile of wood. We didn't need to say anything. We picked up the logs we had dropped on the ground and then, in a bit of a daze, we walked back towards the cabin, guided by the light in the window.
Chapter 5. Unusual Christmas Eve. As soon as we got back, we told our parents in great detail about our amazing experience. We had never seen a wild doe like that. It was magical. Nonno stared at us wide-eyed. When the excitement had passed, Milo and I began piling up the logs to make a pyramid shape like a Christmas tree. Then I took all the socks I could find in our big suitcase. I folded them up into ball shapes and placed them on the ends of the logs. When I had finished, I turned around and said, "Ta-da! Here's your Christmas tree, Nonno." My sister clapped her little hands. Dad and Mum looked at me proudly. They seemed to be saying thank you, and that made me happy. Then Milo said,
"I feel hungry now. Let me remind you that we have the pre-dinner snacks all to ourselves."
Mum laughed and said, "Oh, Milo and his tummy. You're right, let's eat." What followed was the happiest Christmas Eve meal. The cabin had warmed up, the snacks were on the table, it all looked wonderful by candlelight. And since we had no cutlery, we ate with our fingers. Dad lifted his water bottle and said,
"Let's drink to Rosalie, our magician, and to Milo. It is thanks to them that we are celebrating Christmas in this wonderful cabin."
I smiled. I had been so disappointed about not being with all our family at Granny and Grandad's. But I felt fine at that moment, surrounded by my parents, my brother, and my sister. As we ate, we told each other plenty of stories and we laughed a lot. For dessert, Dad opened a packet of marshmallows. He pushed them onto twigs and held them over the fire. I had never tasted melted marshmallows before. They were delicious. At the end of the evening, Mum told a Christmas story. Nonno fell asleep quietly in her arms. When the story was finished, Dad whispered, "Time for bed." I couldn't work out where we would all sleep. There was only one bed and Nonno and Mum were already occupying that. So Dad spread some straw on the floor and said,
"We can sleep here. Put on your ski trousers and your anoraks so you don't feel cold."
When we were all lying down, Mum covered us with some tartan rugs that we always kept in the car just in case. I realized that we had forgotten one very important thing. Father Christmas. How could he bring us our presents if he didn't know where we were? I crawled out from under the warm rug, grabbed a stick by the fireplace and opened the door. It was cold outside, but it had stopped snowing. I wrote a message in the snow. "Father Christmas, we are here." When I had finished, I quickly went back inside and lay down in the warmth beside Milo.
Chapter 6. Happy Christmas.
Mum and Dad kissed us goodnight one by one and blew out all the candles. In the firelight, I could see Mum lying on the bed with Nonno snuggled up to her fast asleep. Before I fell asleep, I thought about the rest of our family. I couldn't wait to see them. But I loved this Christmas Eve in the cabin. When I woke up, it was a bit cold. Dad had disappeared. Everyone else was still asleep except for Mum. She was still lying down, but her eyes were wide open. She smiled at me. I turned my head, and there, next to our improvised Christmas tree, were some presents. I enjoyed that moment without saying a word. Then suddenly Nonno jumped off the bed with a shriek.
"Father Christmas came! Father Christmas came!"
Milo emerged from under the rugs. His face was all creased and he didn't really understand what was going on. A few seconds later the door opened and there was Dad.
"Up you get, children. Breakfast is served."
Behind him in the doorway stood a man with a beard, white hair and a red hat. Dad said in the same happy voice,
This is Jeremy. He is the owner of the farm nearby. He came home this morning. I was able to call Granny and Grandad from his house to put their minds at rest. They will be here in an hour.
Yay!
We all cheered when we heard the good news. Then Jeremy held up a basket and said,
"In the meantime, I have brought you some milk from my cows and some bread and butter."
Milo, Nonno and I shouted,
"Presents first!"
So that morning, before eating a yummy breakfast brought to us by a Father Christmas lookalike, we opened our presents, all dressed in our ski suits and sitting by an unusual Christmas tree in a little cabin in the snow. What an adventure! I think it was the most amazing Christmas I've ever had. The end.